you guys ready for this roller coaster?
Buckle up.
That's right. You better buckle up. So, leading up to this, I've been jokingly referring to my topic, which I haven't told anybody what I was talking about today. I told Paige, but she forgot, like, within 20 minutes what I told her. So, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I've been jokingly referring to this as an educational awareness public service announcement. So, that right there is a mouthful. So, the announcement part of this is our main point of this topic, main point of what I'm talking about, is the young earth creationist theory. Has anybody heard of this? As nobody. Okay, so this will be fun.
She should say it again.
Young earth creationist theory.
Creationist.
Yeah. So that's what, this is why this is a public service announcement, because nobody is aware of this. And honestly, up till 4 or 5 months ago, I wasn't aware of it either. I've heard it talked about various places and various podcasts and videos and stuff that I watch, but I never took the time to look into it. And it was actually YouTube that finally led me to the rabbit hole to learn what this was. So for some reason, I was at home a few months ago and I was watching whatever on TV, and YouTube and its infamous algorithm gave me a video to watch between Ken Ham and Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Wow.
Most people know Bill Nye.
Yeah.
He is a devout atheist.
Really?
It's very well known. Okay. Ken Ham, I wasn't exactly sure who he was, but I knew he was a Christian. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll watch a debate between a Christian and an atheist and see what happens. Well, it turns out Ken Ham is more than just a Christian. He is a young earth creationist. And he is actually the founder and leader of the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Have anybody been to the Ark Encounter? I know Dylan and AJ just went. And the reason I know that is because they're the reason I chose this topic. Because they went down there to the Ark Encounter, and Dylan sent us messages and pictures in our big family group text chat and was like, hey, did you know there were dinosaurs on the Ark and all this other stuff, and everything we learned in school was wrong? Well, at that point, I had already done this study. I had already gone down this rabbit hole. I watched that Ken Ham and Bill Nye debate. Well, after watching that, that sent me down this rabbit hole of learning everything I could learn about the young earth creationist theory, about their competitors, the old earth creationist theory, and just everything about the Ark Encounter and everything that they believe. So whenever he sent that message, I obviously couldn't stay silent. So I had to reply with a message of my own. But in text form, it's kind of hard to put across hours and hours and hours worth of study into a single text to try to get your point across. So after I sent that text, I was like, maybe this is something I should teach on whenever the next opportunity comes about. And well, here we are. And so that's what I'm going to be teaching on. So that's how I chose the topic. But the whole point of this, I'm not going to tear down young earth creationist theory. This is nothing negative against them, because it doesn't matter what you believe. If I could tell you about the young earth creationist theory today, and you may go home and decide you're a young earth creationist, fine. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you believe. Whether you believe young earth, old earth, it has nothing to do with your salvation. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He died on the cross, rose, ascended into heaven, was resurrected. That's what you need for salvation.
Okay.
This is just a difference in interpretation of what the Bible actually says. And so as we get into this, I picked out three main topics that are like the biggest differences between the young earth creationist and the old earth creationist. And so we'll kind of just do a brief overview of those. And I'm hoping in 2 weeks, I think, when I come back, then I would like to dive in deep on at least one of these. And I'll talk about it a little bit whenever we get to it. But again, I'm trying to be brief overview. So I'll try not to get too winded there. But before we get into this, the differences, I want to tell you where I'm at as far as in this debate. So as I'm here talking about it, explaining to the two different sides, you're not wondering, like, am I a young Earth creationist? Am I an old Earth creationist? I just want you to know where I'm at in this debate. And in order to explain that, I need to give another little story. So as I was preparing for this, and I was thinking about it and trying to figure out where I was, there was one night, Paige and I were lying in bed, and I kind of made a mention to her that I created a new word. And Paige, in all of her support and love and care, says, "What's that?" So I go, "So, you know, an optimist will look at a glass half full. A pessimist will look at the same glass and see it as half empty. I look at that glass and see it at its equilibrium, as in that glass is as full as it can possibly be, but at the same point being low enough that it has the least amount of chance of spilling. So it's at its perfect equal spot where it wants to be. So it's as full as it can be without spilling, with the least amount of chance of spilling." If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the word that I came up with was that I'm an equilibrist.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a good word, right?
Makes
sense.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm in bed, and I told this to Paige, and again, in all of her love and support and everything, she says, "That's nice," and went to bed. So obviously, I'm not going to get up and actually look up that word at that point. So I'm also trying to fall asleep. So the next day I went to work and I remembered all this. And so I look it up. Well, equilibrist is an actual word. And it has an actual definition, but it's not the definition that I created. So its actual definition is, hold on, so I'm not going on my notes at all here, so it's in here somewhere.
Imagine that.
Easy. Okay, so the actual definition of equilibrist is an acrobat who performs feats of balance, especially a tightrope walker.
What? That's cute. I see it.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not do that at all. So I am right now formally making a petition that a new definition being added to the dictionary for equilibrist, because it only has one option. That's the only option it has. So it needs a second option. And that option should be: an equilibrist is someone who views a topic or situation in its most equal and beneficial manner for both sides or parties. That should be, there we go. That should be, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that's in all dictionaries now, because that's where it should be. So that's where I'm at. I'm an equilibrist. I think that I look at both sides of this, these theories, the young Earth creationist theory, the old Earth creationist theory. I see benefits to one. I see benefits to the other. Some of them are a little off the point, or on both of them are in certain ways, in certain areas. So I do fall somewhere in the middle. I think there is some benefit or some truth in the young Earth creationist theory, and I think there's some truth in the old Earth creationist theory. I think the actual truth is somewhere in the middle, and that's where I try to walk. And so as we go through this, then you will know that's kind of where I'm at, where my mind's coming from for this. So the actual agenda for this whole topic, these three things that I'm going to go across, it's just to make you aware of what the young Earth creationists believe. And again, we're just hitting on the three big ones. There's a lot of other differences out there that I highly encourage you to go and do your own research, and you will fall into a rabbit hole and you'll be there for a while. So let's get into these three differences. Michelle, how am I looking on time?
You got 18 minutes.
Oh, man, I'm flying.
You are flying. You're talking very fast, but it's very clear. We're doing good.
Okay. So I can talk a little bit slower.
I can go. Yeah,
I can go a little bit of tangents on these. Actually, it is hot up here.
Yeah, I feel like you're sweaty.
It is. That's why I'm leaning forward.
So you're excellent.
You guys are just so sweet to each other.
You got this.
Okay. Well, thanks for the support. You give me more support than Patreon does.
It's more vocal.
That could be. All right. So getting into the differences. The first one that we're going to talk about is the age of the Earth. And this is a huge difference in the two different categories here, the two different creationist theories. So the young Earth creationists, most young Earth creationists believe the world, the universe, everything is no more than 6,000 years old.
We're wrong.
So from the creation of the universe, creation of the Earth, creation of Adam and Eve, everything happened about 6,000 years ago. There are some that go as far out as 10,000 years. And that's typically where they're at, between 6 and 10. There are a slight difference. There's a small, small section that believe it's 12,000 years. But most of the other young Earth creationists just kind of write them off as crazy. So most of them believe they are between 6 and 10,000 years. The old Earth creationists, they follow more along the lines of traditional or modern day scientists. They believe that the universe was created first, and that was created roughly around 13.7 billion years ago. Yeah. Okay. So now you can see there's a big difference between 6,000 years and 13.7 billion years. And actually, I also saw some numbers closer to 15 billion, but at this point, I don't know if that really matters.
Long time.
That's a long time. The creation of the Earth was about 4.5 billion years ago. Again, that's a lot more than 6,000. And then the creation of Adam and Eve is somewhere between 30,000 and 70,000 years ago. So again, these are big differences in numbers between what the old Earth and young Earth believe. And these dates, at least what the old Earth creationists believe, these dates, they do change, because with the increase of technology and everything that we have in today's society, those numbers constantly get pushed back further and further, and they're always changing. And so the old Earth creationists kind of follow along that same general belief, whatever the modern day scientists believe. So there is a huge difference in that. But a lot of that stems from Genesis 1. And this is where I would really like to spend an entire my next sermon, I guess you want to call it. I don't really view these as sermons, but the next time I'm up here, I would like to do a deep dive into Genesis 1 and show you guys how Genesis 1 is set up, but also view it in the difference between the young Earth creationist beliefs and the way they look at it and the old Earth and the way they view it, and just look at these differences. And this will make a little more sense as I start talking about this, because the young Earth creationists believe that, if we recall in Genesis, God took 6 days to create the Earth and everything in it, and on the seventh day he rested. Well, the young Earth creationists believe those were six literal 24-hour period days, just like our normal days today. So 24 hours, one day, and one day he did all these different things. So in 6 days total, he created everything that ever was in the world. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And the argument for this is that Genesis is a book of history. It is not a book of poetry, parable, prophetic vision, or mythology. And again, there's so much I could say on this, but we're going to skip over that and go to the old Earth creationist theory. So the old Earth creationists, yes, they acknowledge the fact that it was 6 days. But they recognize the definition of a day in our modern day society is a 24-hour period. But when we talk about day in a biblical sense, it's so much more than a 24-hour period. So a day in the Bible may represent an era, a span of human history, a memorable event or a significant period of time. And then it also has a metaphorical meaning that puts more emphasis on what happens during that day than that actual chronological period of time, 24 hours. So it's more about, okay, all this happened, that was a day. All this happened, that was a day. Not necessarily that, well, all this happened, well, that was a 24-hour time, a bunch of different days. No, they're just saying this whole section that all has the same general thing happening in it was a day. And that is a biblical way of viewing a day, and that is what the old earth creationists believe. So if we go into what Genesis 1 actually says, then, and just the way it's set up, on this point, I am leaning more towards the old earth creationist than the young earth, because of the way Genesis set up. And this is what something that I really want to look at, which if you listen to all the podcasts, I think I've talked about this like a long time ago, but probably nobody remembers. But this is something that I would like to talk about next time. So the third one is creation itself. And young earth creationists believe that all instances of creation are special creation, which means that there has to be direct divine intervention which suspends the law of nature to achieve a given result. Does that make sense? Perfect sense? Everybody understand weird science talk? Yeah, perfect. If that doesn't make sense, then what they're trying to say is that God cannot work through natural means and laws. So the only way God can create is through direct divine intervention. But then they take it a step further and say that was only possible in those first 6 days. So they're saying that now, after those first 6 days of creation, from that point on, God isn't creating anything else. Everything that was created in those first 6 days. And now it's just working itself out. Well, with the old creationist theory, they also believe that God created everything in those first 6 days. They're in the same belief system there. But the old earth creationists believe that God still has the power to create and change through natural means and laws. What do I mean by natural means and laws? It could be anything from a natural disaster or some sort of invasive species coming into another area and completely changing that habitat, forcing animals to change and adapt. But the old earth creationists say, go a step further, because this does kind of sound a little bit like evolution, but it's different from evolution, because evolution is that we all came from a single cell organism that came out of the water, and over millions of years, we all became all these different species and types. And now with this, it's different from evolution because they believe God is the one that is doing it. So nothing can change or happen without God saying or making that change and happen. So if there's a natural disaster or an invasive species, God is the one behind that in order to create a domino effect in order to change a certain species that will then evolve into something different. But it evolves because God gives them what they need to evolve. They're not just evolving because natural selection or whatever. It's because that's what God wants. So it is all working within the will of God. And that is how, because if you actually look at our world, they find new species, never before discovered species, almost daily.
Yeah.
But then we also have species going extinct almost daily.
Yeah.
So there's a constant, and the rough number they threw out there is 10%.
Yeah.
So we're constantly gaining 10% new species and losing 10% of species.
Yeah.
So we always have the same amount, but there's a constant rotation. And this actually reminds me of a show that I watched. It was called Extinct or Alive. And I found it, I don't know, doing this or some of the other stuff. But there's a show called Extinct or Alive. I can't remember the name of the guy off the top of my head. Huh?
His name was Forrest.
Forrest Galante.
Yep.
Yes. And he is a biologist. He is not a Christian, but his job, especially what he does in this show and then what he does for his full-time job, is he tries to go in and find animals that have been recently said are extinct. Then he goes in and he finds these animals, but then he's also going in and finding other animals that have never been known before.
Okay.
And he's finding, and they're not small. A lot of the new species that people find are insects or small little things. No, he's finding like alligators, crocodiles, like one was some sort of goat type thing. I don't even know what class it would fall under. That is deep in some wilderness somewhere. I don't know. He goes into these super crazy places and spends like weeks out in
bush.
He's not, I mean, he's smart, but not the most smart person, I don't think. But yeah, he is constantly finding these new species or these species said to be extinct. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what God is doing. So you're telling me that there is this 500, 600 pound goat deer type animal living out in the wilderness somewhere. We've been here for how many years and nobody knew this thing existed? I mean, that is God protecting that animal until finally God's like, okay, it's time for this animal to be revealed. And so he sends in Forrest Galante to go find this animal. And now everybody knows about it. But and then Forrest does go a step further, because once he finds these animals, he works with local governments to set up protection and everything else. And he does everything the correct way so that these animals that he finds are protected and can thrive in their environment. But that is how God works. I mean, just like I said, there are animals out there that we don't even know exist yet. And animals will change and adapt because that's what God wants to do. And that's what the old earth creationists believe, where the young earth are like, nope, that's I don't know what they actually believe, because they said everything was created at the beginning, after day six. Everything was created that will ever be created, and it's just here. And we just have to find it, I guess. I don't know. But so that's all I'm going to have for now. So I'm out of time.
No, you have 5 minutes. So I'm just getting ready to put my hand up. Like
okay. Well, I ran through that. I did skip some of it though at the beginning. But that's fine.
Pressure from your system.
I know. She's mean.
I'm loving.
She's caring for all of that.
Well, that came from your mom.
Yeah, I don't get a whole lot of love, but that's okay. So, are you guys interested in me talking more about this next time? Because I would like to go into, and there's actually a whole other section. It's called the Younger Dryas effect theory. That is awesome. Everybody should look into that. If you're into history and stuff like that, and just a brief overview, the Younger Dryas effect belief is that about 12,900 years ago, we were hit with at that point we were in full ice age. All of most of the northern hemisphere was covered in ice, at least a mile thick, some spots mile and a half up to 2 miles thick. There's like 60 million cubic miles of ice.
Wow.
And in a short period of time, we were hit with multiple asteroids, and it wiped out all the large mammals that lived on the U.S. So all the mammoths, I don't know if you guys have ever done any research into the megafauna that lived on the world years ago.
Nice.
But all these big creatures that lived on the earth were wiped out at that point.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of huge changes happening because of what happened there. And that is a very interesting road to travel down. That's a very interesting rabbit hole to.
And all these groups are all claiming to be Christians, God fearing.
The Young Earth Dryas, that does not have anything to do with Christianity, but I think it does fit into the Christian worldview. They don't talk about it in a Christian way. They are strictly like modern day scientists. And there's a huge debate in the scientific world. Like, this happened, this didn't happen. This happened, this didn't happen. So there's a huge debate there. But if you think about it, 12,900 years ago, well, the young Earth creationists believe that at the oldest point, possibly 12,000 years ago is when the Earth was created. No. Most likely 10,000. Well, that's right at the tail end of the Younger Dryas. And at the Younger Dryas, that created, if not a global flood, huge flooding throughout the world. And that was part of the reason for a lot of the death and everything else. So it is possible, in my belief, that where the young Earth creationists pick up is right at the end of the Younger Dryas, after there was a huge, huge catastrophe on this planet. So that's where I think there is some old Earth beliefs in there, because I do think the Earth is older than 6,000 years. But I, with this Younger Dryas being factored in, it kind of, there was a restart at around that 12 to 10,000 year mark, where civilizations pretty much had to start over.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the young Earth, they just believe that we've only been here for this new period that we are currently living in. So, like I said, this is a very interesting rabbit hole.
How are they proving their theories?
Which ones?
All of these young Earth creationists, young Dryas, and older. How are they proving their
belief systems?
Yeah.
It varies. As far as the young Earth and old Earth, a lot of them are going with traditional dating methods. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I've drawn a blank. But all the carbon dating, yes. The carbon dating, and there's like several other similar to carbon dating, using different types of elements within bones and stuff like that, that they're basically dating the half-lives of these elements within the bones. They're using those types of methods to date stuff. And
how can there be that big of a discrepancy?
Yeah.
If they're using the same kind of, you know,
it's all interpretation. That is what it all comes down to.
If you study carbon dating changes.
Yeah.
All the time.
And actually, carbon dating is only good up to like 30,000 years, I think.
Yeah.
And after that, your half-life gets so small.
Yeah.
You can't even, I don't know if the 30,000 is the exact time period, but it's not millions of years ago that they're trying to use carbon dating for. It's yes, Joe, I see you. It's their fault. They're asking questions. It's not my fault.
That's why I didn't make a big deal about it. Go ahead.
So yes, carbon dating is not, I mean, it's accurate up to a certain period of time. Then after that, it kind of loses its effect. And then other types of dating come into play. And that is another big argument between the two different, at least young Earth and old Earth, is how reliable some of these dating methods are. Young Earth will attack it saying, yeah, these are so unreliable. And they take in samples from something of known age to different laboratories to get them tested, and they're coming back with this huge range of dates, but they know it's like, no, this was from this point in time, like within the last 100 years, and you're saying it's 10,000 years old. So that's where the young Earth is making their argument, but the old Earth is saying, well, yeah, there is a big range, but there's a 10% something or other. I don't remember what that was, but whatever the range in is, as long as it's within 10% of that. So whenever you start talking millions of or billions of years, that is a big window. 10% of billions is a lot. So that's kind of how the old Earth kind of play it. And so again, a lot of it is just interpretation. And
I also get a lot of that
probably.
You'll see a lot of that pick and choosing. Oh, I want to believe this, but I don't want to believe this because it doesn't fit with what.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in there too. A lot of politics and
How so. Show in between the atheists and the scientist or whatever it was. One.
Well, I don't know if there is a winner. They both had good arguments. Again, it left me with more questions and making me feel like they were both incompetent. Sorry, Bill Nye and Ken Ham. But it seemed like the arguments that they choose were so dumb. It's like, come on, people use common sense. But it is what it is. All right, show is yelling at me.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know he
was an atheist. Yeah, he's a strong atheist.
He's a proclaimed atheist.
Yeah.
He says it himself. Yeah. It's not people's theory that he is.
No, yeah, and that's what he was on all the debates. He's going on to these debates as an atheist, debating against different people. So, all right, Michelle, you're up.